Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 673. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please let us know whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're all free, but we just need to know whether you want a CD or audio tape. We have got a very strong message today. I've got some real good letters and responses. And music. But right now, let's pray. Father, anoint this program, anoint me, and open everyone's understanding. Let not anything distract them, not anything in this world to distract them from loving you, loving your word. Love is, you have said in your word, is the keeping of your commandments. And love is to love you because you loved us first. Give us a message, Lord, that will reach into the hearts of people and explain the your operation. So many people have set you aside and have said in their hearts that you're really not anything that much, and that the things of this, quote, real world, which is not the real world, is the most important thing. But let it come out of this message, Lord, that there isn't anything in this world that is of any importance, only doing your will. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, I've got some music here for you. This is my version of, and Gary Paxton's version of, Let Him Be. Let Jesus be all you need.
Let it be.
Let the Lord be all you need for tomorrow. The chapter that I'm going to be finishing or attempting to finish today will be for married people to be as though they're not married. That people should not even marry. You know, this is another doctrine. This is the Apostle Paul saying it's better not to marry. But so I preach the whole Bible. I preach that in the Bible, some people don't marry. In the Bible, some people do, but it's better not to marry. And some people God has given many wives to. And I believe that these wives that the Lord is talking about, that he gave to many of the people of the Lord, that most of them were helpers in the ministry. It was not a sex thing like the world. That's all they think of is sex, and they have to magnify it to themselves through pornography and all other sorts of things. But the Apostle Paul said it's better if a person does not marry, even virgins, that they shouldn't marry. So, you know, some people get really upset when I'm dwelling on one subject in the Bible. And now a lot of people are going to get very angry, you know, when I'm telling them that it's better not to marry. Some people think that God's goal these last days is that people marry and that have babies. Really, who would want in this world today to bring babies, especially babies that are not going to be raised Christian? Who would want to bring them into this world? It's just, according to the Apostle Paul, even back in those days, he said, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. In other words, the Lord stated that I'm having mercy on you. I'm not giving you, I'm giving you a will to not be married so that you can be faithful to me. Because when a virgin gets married to a woman, or a virgin woman gets married to a man, he says that they care more about their husband or their wives more than the Lord. And so therefore he says it's better not to be married. But we have, I'm going to get into that subject a little bit further. And it's so good for you to learn the Word of God. Now, there are so many options. God gives the gift to Paul to have overcome his flesh, that he has no need to be married. He said that he has, in that respect, obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful to God. That's the main thing, is to be faithful to God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So just because a leader in a church, if they're really of the Lord, has many women around them, that doesn't mean that they're having sex with all of them by any means. And that doesn't mean that even many of them are not even having sex. But they have, in my case, I have to have people around me, secretaries, because I'm legally blind. And I have to have people run the mixing machine over here, the recording machine. I have a machine here also that helps me see. It blows words up several hundred times, so I can read. And also, there are people that when I'm giving a message for the to print up, that they sit and I give dictation to them. And then there has to be people that type, and there's purchasing agents in the church that purchase for everyone. And it just goes on and on. There's people that drive trucks. People, I have people that drive me, because I don't drive a car. I just, for your own safety and mine, I don't drive at all. And there's people that do cleaning and that prepare food and wash dishes. And it's just hundreds of different positions in the Lord that causes us, if the Lord, and because the Lord has commissioned me to do a huge work for him, it is not just me, I tell you, folks. There are hundreds of people in this church that help do what I do and do what they do. We help each other. That's the way the body of Christ is. And the Apostle Paul considered it mercy of the Lord to be faithful to him, because the major attribute or the major consolation at the judgment bar of God will have been that you were faithful to God, not some woman that is a flirt or somebody that just doesn't care about the Lord and they don't care about their own soul, or some man that is a whoremonger. Nowadays, you just don't know. We see that there's plenty of evil in the world, and I'm talking about in human beings. You look at something and you see, they look normal and they act like they might be faithful. Then after a few years, you see some of them fade away. They slowly down through the years drift back into the world, and they don't realize it, but they're snared and they can't come back. Too many years of unfaithfulness. Now, concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful unto him. I suppose, therefore, this is verse 26, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Verse 27, art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. Verse 28, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. Well, because once you succumb to sexual intercourse, you're going to want to do more and more, and pretty soon you're going to be full of lust. But I spare you. I'm not going to go any further with this. You'll find out soon enough after you're married. So, nevertheless, he says, such shall definitely have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. I'm not going to discourage you any further than this. But this I say, verse 29, brethren, the time is short. We only have a few days, all of us, on earth. We're like grass, we're like vapors, like shadows. We're here and gone. So many people think that he's saying that it's the end of time and right then, but I think he knows better than that. But this I say, brethren, the time is short of our sojourn here in the world. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. They that have wives, plural, wives, be as though they had none. Verse 30, and they that weep as though they wept not. Why? Well, because when you're weeping, a lot of times people weep because they really feel that they're hurt. Well, because you're going to go through some trials and tribulations if you really are wanting to please the Lord. But why should we weep when the consolation that we have for whatever we're going through today is the kingdom of heaven? So if you're weeping, be as though they wept not. Don't let the devil see you crying. and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. You know, people rejoice, they're having all kinds of fun. They're rejoicing, but don't rejoice. You know, so many people have birthday parties and wedding parties, and that's all right, but don't let that be short-lived, as though they rejoice not. And they that buy, don't get hung up in things, as though they possessed nothing. I mean, when you are grown in the Lord, you realize that the things that you have are from the Lord. He gave them, and if he takes them away, praise the Lord, just as Job did. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They took, the government brought a lot of different cults into the country. One was Sun Myung Moon, and they brought in lots of them. And their strategy to do away with Christianity was to say, there are so many hundred or thousands of cults in this country. But they don't ever mention that there's a lot of Christian churches, true Christian churches, because we're like offshoots. We're all together, blended together as the body of Christ. So we don't get into possessions. And they that buy, as though they possessed not. We had the government took brought these cults into the country, and then they mixed Christian churches in. Everybody's dangerous, except the Vatican. They say that they don't want any children being raised by polygamists. If God gave them many wives, then who are these newscasters or who are lost, they're unsaved, they don't know anything, really, the Bible tells us. And the satanic Catholic cult, they're the most dangerous things for your children to go there. But the media, because of the fact that the Vatican runs the news media at large, they do not come down on the Vatican because they're scared to death of the Vatican. They know they're murdering people all over the world, and they know that if they say anything bad about the Vatican and they keep it up, they're going to be killed, murdered by them. And so that's why everybody keeps their mouth shut about them, except myself. Now, when I saw the kingdom of heaven, I saw Jesus standing right before my eyes. And I thought, I lifted my hands up and I thought I'd be scared to death when I saw him. But when I saw him, I said, Lord, I thought it was the most joyful thing in my life because I thought he was going to take me. And I was in bed. I sat up. It was in a very dark room and he appeared. And I just sat there. I thought I'd be frightened if something like this happened. But there was a stick made out of vapor that was about three feet high, right in front of me, about 3-4 feet away from me. And there was a sound. It went shh, and it formed into a oval-shaped mirror. And the Lord was sitting in there. And I says, Lord, and he says, not yet, not now, not now. I want to be in heaven more than anything in this whole world. I've never been so disappointed in my life when he said, not now. So I'm not looking to own anything here. I buy things every month for everybody in the church, and I spend a lot of money on radio broadcasting, on printing, yeah, on distributing. The amount of finances that goes into mailing out literature all over the world is staggering. And a load of paper, each load runs around $22,000 or more. And that's just the beginning. Then we have to print We have big web press, and we other presses as well, and we print, and then we have to, a lot of people have to be there to sort the literature out and keep it stored, and then they mail it out because there's thousands of requests that come in. And then we have witnessing crews that go out to different cities in the United States to distribute the literature that the Lord has given me. And it's staggering. And so I buy all these things. But the government said that I was a cult, these goons from Rome, and those that are inspired by this Satan's cult. And so they took everything away. We had accumulated after around 25 years, over $100 million worth of property, and everybody was living in it. And they were, some people started not serving the Lord, and so the Lord raised up the Antichrist cult to persecute and prosecute the church. So they took everything away, and I says, just like Job, the Lord gave and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I could care less, because there was a lot of inventory that had to be taken care of, ordering of new clothing and sizes, and I had to do all the ordering for that store in Nashville. And a majority, I would say, of movie stars and big name stars like the Beatles, Michael Jackson, and just scores of people would buy clothes, even Frank Sinatra and Mrs. Jacqueline Onassis, the Sultan of Brunei, President Bongo from Gabon, Africa, one of the richest men in the world, and of course the Sultan of Brunei, and hundreds of country western singers and people like Bruce Springsteen, and a lot of other people would shop at my store. Because, and even Britt Ekland, who was in 007 movies, she from Sweden, told me, this is Tony's candy store, because she said she just loved to be in there. All the stars would come to that store, and it was like, it was so nice, because people would come in and talk to you and get to know you, and they knew very good and well that we were straight, you know, not any cult. And I still associate with a lot of people that was just a child. I talk to them all the time, now and then. Not all the time, a lot of them, but some of them, now and then. A lot of them are already gone on to be with the Lord, or they went to hell, wherever they went. And I'm still here. But at any rate, so it didn't bother me at all. It was actually a relief, because it freed me up more and more to serve the Lord. So they that buy as though they possess nothing. I don't believe I possess anything. And I've prepared my heart to be ready that in the event they take everything that I have, that I just say, praise the Lord. And then they stuck me into a cell for nothing. They said I had, they railroaded me. They said that I had not paid my taxes. Well, first of all, we're a tax-exempt organization. And secondly, I've told people, including Susie, my late wife, Sue, told the newspapers that we'll swap in Fort Smith, Arkansas, we'll swap tax bills with anybody in town. Nobody took us up on that offer. Verse 31, and they that use this world, we have to make money, we have to eat, we have to sleep, we have to use the world. Because our Lord and Master created this world in the kingdom of heaven, and he created it for those of us that serve him. So we use it as not abusing it. Well, there's all kinds of drugs and all kinds of sinful things. Now, we don't want to abuse the world for the fashion of this world passeth away. It's going to pass away, and it's going to pass away real soon. Have you not seen? I know that because of my preaching that a lot of people are not saying Mother Nature anymore. They're beginning to realize that it is the wrath of God that's coming down on this earth. There's no such thing as Mother Nature. Verse 31. But I would have you without carefulness. I mean, just walk in the Spirit, and that way you don't have to be careful about what you do. I would have you without carefulness. Because when you're in the Spirit, you know you're doing the right thing. Well, all sorts of people do everything they can in their power to distract you. They say, you're a cult. You're a this. You're a that. But, you know, these are fiery darts, but we have the full, if you have the full armor of God, in other words, your mind is filled with the Word of God, and you have the breastplate of righteousness, and even your heart is filled with the Word of God. You know you're not sinning at all. You're not doing anything wrong in the eyes of God. But unsaved people, they're doing things that they're accusing you of. So he that is married careth not for the things that belong to the Lord. So this is a downer for people that want to get married. If you think I'm encouraging people to have one wife or even many wives, that isn't what it's all about, Elfie. So he that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But, verse 33, he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. What do you want to do? Please your wife or please the Lord? Because wives are always nagging. Can I have this? Can I have that? Can I have this and that and this and that and this? I mean, there's no end to it. Verse 34. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman, a virgin, careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, H-O-L-Y, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now, does this sound like I'm trying to convince, that the Bible's trying to convince people to be polygamous? No, it's not. But it just happens to be in the Bible, because there's a lot of people in the world, I believe, that God wants to be polygamous. And there's a lot of them in the world that he doesn't want them to marry at all. And why? I don't know. I mean, I just know that it's of the Lord. If God tells you to do something, don't let the filthy, rotten media tell you that it's wrong. Don't let the Antichrist cult in Rome that controls most of the smut in the world and every other thing, don't let them tell you that it's wrong. And this I speak for your own profit about not being married. Not that I may cast a snare upon you. I don't want to cause you trouble. If the Lord is telling you to marry, marry. But if he's telling you not to, then don't. But for that which is comely, and I mean beautiful, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distractions. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely towards his virgin, in other words, if you have a woman and you're getting too friendly or familiar with her, if she past the flower of her age. In other words, she's not a young spring chicken anymore. And need so require, she needs to now get married and have sexual relationships. Let him do what he will. He sinneth not. In other words, let them marry. Because she requires it, and so let them marry. Verse 37, nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will. Ooh, that is powerful. Everybody says, I gotta get married, I gotta have sex. But those that have power over their own will and has so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. It's better. Verse 38. So then he that giveth her in marriage doth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. Verse 39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to marry, be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. All right, now, this is, I'm going to stop right here for a little while because we have some letters. Where's the first one from?
From Kothalanka, India.
All right, what do they say?
Dear beloved brother Tony Alamo, greetings in the most wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the precious Lamb of God. I received your world newsletters and t-shirts. As a team of four co-pastors, we are distributing your literature in various areas among the people. Many people were very glad to receive your literature and instantly read them and believed in God, accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Praise the Lord. Really, you are a great pastor in the world. Your powerful literature turned many people from sin to salvation. Some poor people, those who were unable to purchase a Bible but are very interested to read it, asked me for one, so I request you please try to send some Bibles to share among the poor people. Daily we are all praying for your good family and your ministry. Please remember us in your prayers. May God bless you and your labor for Him. I'm looking forward to your response. Yours in His service, Pastor V. Joseph from Kothalanka, India.
Praise the Lord. Now, where's the next letter from?
From Nashville, Tennessee.
All right, let's hear what they have to say.
Gary Moore from Nashville called to tell Pastor Tony that there are many people out here on your side. He saw that Dr.
No, if they're on my side, they're on the Lord's side, because I am on the Lord's side. Then what?
He saw the Dr. Phil show and said it was the biggest waste of his time. He's so amazed that they spent all that money on that big production. He said, quote, you could tell the woman was lying just by looking at her.
Oh, yeah, there's a woman that was in the church, and she's been in mental institutions. She presently advertises on the website, her website, that she's the Puerto Rican beauty and that she is willing to have sex with whoever. Then what?
They said that he's packed to the gills with guns.
Oh, listen, we don't have any guns. We never have, and we never will. And everybody knows that, has known me for years. We have no guns. I know very well, some people like to go hunting and stuff. I don't even have a hunting gun. I don't have knives here in this church, except for to eat with in the cafeterias. And we don't have any carnal weapon whatsoever. These people have, the government has believed this on many occasions by false people that report things. So they raided our church and found nothing. They searched high and low in all of our buildings. This has happened several times. All right, then what?
They didn't show one gun on there because there never have been guns at Tony Alamo's church.
Right, because this person here, I think, Gary Moore, was living at our church at one time. Was he not?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
I was there in 1985. I was in Arkansas and in Nashville. I know how Tony is. I tell everybody that he's the Lord's friend. The Lord tells him what to do. He doesn't have a gun anywhere. We were in Arkansas visiting
Nobody in the church has a gun. If I ever found out that somebody in my church had a gun, I'd tell them, get rid of it right now or leave. Okay? Then what else?
We were in Arkansas visiting just before the government invaded the church property, and there were no guns.
Never have been. Never will be. Then what?
Gary Moore said he's praying that the truth will come out. Let the truth be heard. If you need him for anything, give him a call, and he left his phone number.
Okay, now this is the Dr. Phil show, right?
Yes.
Well, somebody sent in a little thing on Dr. Phil. I mean, he likes to throw dung over everything, and he likes to make himself look as though he is a doctor and a good man. And he doesn't care about calling churches cults. But somebody, don't even mention the name of the person who sent this in to us right after that program, but read a little thing here on past history on Dr. who?
Dr. Phil McGraw.
Phil McGraw. That's the one who had that program and was calling this crazy woman. She's definitely been shown to be a psycho. She was in a mental institution. Who said that she was a psycho? What hospital was it?
Sparks Regional Medical Center.
Sparks Regional Medical Center in where?
Fort Smith, Arkansas, yes.
Yeah. She's documented there, the one that was on what's her name again?
Phil McGraw.
Phil. Dr. Phil. They just call the program Dr. Phil. And we had to, I can't remember all the details, but she just was always beating her children and abusing them and lying and flirting with people, and so as I recall. But go ahead and read a little thing here on Dr. Phil.
Okay, this is under the heading Personal Life. Quote, McGraw's first marriage and subsequent divorce was not publicized until a 2002 Newsweek cover story. The, quote, secret first wife of Dr. Phil, unquote, was ex-cheerleader and homecoming queen Debbie Higgins McCall, who married McGraw in 1970. According to her, Phil was domineering and would not allow her to participate in the family business, a health spa. Instead, she was confined to domestic duties, which included lifting weights to improve her bust line.
Oh, my. My, my. I mean, he's not married to her because of the fact that there's some good quality about her. He's marrying her because according to him, a good bust line. He's looking at the flesh, and he wants her to work out with weights diligently so it doesn't go away. Okay, then what else?
McGraw had multiple affairs with other women.
Oh, a serial polygamist. Amen?
Amen.
And he's on the program Downgrading Christians. Then what?
McCall stated, quote, when I confronted him about his infidelities, he didn't deny these girls and told me that it had nothing to do with his feelings toward me. To grow up, that's the way it was in the world, unquote.
Okay, in other words, it's of the world for men to be polygamous. Now just shut up and keep working on your bust. Because I like that. That's Dr. Phil, the great psychologist. Okay, so when you look at him, know that he is a... He won't tell you that he's a polygamist, but he's a serial polygamist. Okay, and then what?
The relationship ended when she left him in 1973. Then under the heading Sanctioned for Unethical Behavior, 1989. The Texas State Board of Examiners...
Now, I'm not doing this to hurt Dr. Phil. I want to help him. I want to help him be an outstanding citizen, and the Lord will forgive him for all of the evil that he has done to his wife. And I can show him how to be a good, upright citizen and a Christian that could be on his way to heaven rather than hell if he'll just repent. I want to help you, Dr. Phil. Okay, then what?
The Texas State Board of Examiners of Psychologists imposed disciplinary sanctions on McGraw on January 27th.
On Dr. Phil, in other words. Then what?
On January 27th, 1989, for an inappropriate, quote, dual relationship, unquote, reported in 1988 by a therapy client employee from 1984. McGraw was ordered by the board to take an ethics class, pass a jurisprudence exam, complete a physical evaluation, undergo a psychological evaluation, and have his practice supervised for 1 year in order to continue his private practice in Texas.
You know, this is a psychologist. Do you know that there's more suicides among psychologists? They're crazy. Anybody that would come up with some theory to and impose it upon people with his warped version of what the world is all about. We know that the world is full of sin, but he's advocating, hey, that's just the way it is in this world, you know. I'm going to go out and keep having sex with all these women. And that doesn't mean I don't love you. You know, wise up. Come on, you know. Just keep working out with those weights on your pectoral area. Okay, good. And then what else?
Dr. Phil admits to giving the client a, quote, job, unquote, at his office.
Yeah, see, now, a lot of times now, this makes me very suspicious why he has girls on the program that he wants to help. He takes these people that are mental cases and says, honey, I want to help you. I want to help you. Now, I've helped, dig this, quote, helped, unquote, many females such as yourself before. I've admitted it to my wife. Now, if I, let me give you some special counsel in my office or possibly at my house if you'd like to come over. This is Dr. Phil. Okay, then what else?
Dr. Phil admits to giving the client a, quote, job at his office, which is not allowed, but denied carrying on a sexual relationship with the 19-year-old, who says their relationship was, quote, sexually inappropriate, unquote.
Right, and this woman that he had on his program has 11 children, and so he knows that she likes to have sex. And so this is the kind of people he has on his program, Dr. Phil. He's a hypocrite, wouldn't you say?
Yes. Amen.
Okay, and then what else?
As of 2008, McGraw has not completed the conditions imposed by the Board of Examiners of Psychologists, and he is not licensed to practice psychology in Texas, California, or anywhere else. And this was all on Wikipedia.org.
So look it up on Wikipedia.org. We didn't make this up, folks. This is all, and it's also at Sparks Medical Mental Department. Read that from there. Read that from there, the one that he had on. He likes to take these mental cases because he knows that they'll easily have sex with him if he'll try to get their her point across. It's like a racket. Rico. To get lots of women into his bed. Go ahead.
This is Sparks Regional Medical Center, report number 192831 on Anna Davis. It says, reason for admission, the patient is a 31-year-old female admitted by the Western Arkansas Counseling and Guidance Center service secondary to an acute psychosis. And it says, under hospital course, the patient was treated with antipsychotic medication fairly intensely in the beginning and then to a much lesser degree as time passed. And it says, during the last few days, she had some mild hypomaniac-like behavior while taking very low doses of Seroquel.
Well, she was beating this young girl, her own daughter, with a curling iron. And what was she? She was cursing and throwing things around and throwing this other young girl, about 16, 17 years old, out of her house. And she actually had film of it and showed it on his program. What was that? What was she doing?
And she was telling telling her own children and this other teenage girl, get the blank out of her house. If you don't want to be here, get out of my house. I don't want you here. Yanking the phone out of her hand, hitting her, and
beating on her.
Beating on her, yes. And trying to smash the cameras while they had the cameras in the house.
Okay, so the way I'm helping you, Dr. Phil, is to tell you that you're as psychotic as that woman that you had on there, that it's very possible that you were trying to have sex with her, and that's why she should be favorable to you, because you're getting her psychotic purpose in life over to the American public. And you had some man in your audience that you said that we had guns, you dirty, filthy liar. Now, I'm the type of person that's going to tell you how it is, you know, straight from the shoulder. We don't have any guns. And, like, I'm going to send a copy of that tape to my attorney in New York and see if you have gotten yourself in a lot of trouble. Now, you know, the Bible says that we are to fight, we Christians are, and you filthy dog, you've come up against my church. Now, you may push other churches around and call them cult, but don't you do that to me unless you want to fight, because I'm not going to resist you with guns, bullets, and bombs, but I'm going to take you to court unless you make a retraction, and very soon. All right, now, do we have anything else?
When this was December 20th, 2000, at approximately 11 o'clock p.m., this is the Fort Smith Police Incident Report. Mm-hmm. I was dispatched to 900 North 10th on report of a white female out walking the streets with seven children. I arrived and made contact with Anna Davis and her seven children, ranging in age from 18 months to 9 years old. I asked Miss Davis where she was going with her children, and she said she was walking to Oklahoma City. I asked her where she had...
From Fort Smith, Arkansas. Now, she just left in the middle of the night. As far as I know, I've never even seen her or met her in my life. And she said, I called her on the phone. I never called. What reason would I have to call her? Her husband will verify this. Her brother will verify this. Her mother has been put in the mental wards because she believes that she's having sex with Elvis Presley. And what other people?
Michael Jackson.
Who? Michael Jackson. And who else? Abraham Lincoln. This is very sad. But, you know, if people are going to reject the instructions from the Bible, I don't see any mercy for them. God doesn't show any mercy for them whatsoever. He sends them into the pit of hell forever and into the lake of fire, and he doesn't even listen to their screams. He pays no attention to people that don't love God. So they picked her up, and it was very cold at night, and so on. It goes on. I don't want to read any more of it, but people can check it out. I think we have that on our website. All right. I want to get the Bible teaching most of that in today as much as I can. Okay. Verse 40, but she is happier if she so abide, if she doesn't get married, after my judgment. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Chapter 8. Now, as touching things offered unto idols. Now, the Lord... there's so few people that have anything in this world, and the Lord promises prosperity. That isn't a message that I preach, really, but you can read it in Deuteronomy. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses. That is, if you keep the commandments of the Lord, and you love to serve him rather than yourself and some woman, or you women, some man. But if you are married, you do have to take care of your man. So you have to make a choice. And in all that thou settest thine hand upon to, it's going to prosper. And he shall, and God shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There's so many people that have not been blessed. All their land now belongs to the government, the Antichrist government. The Lord, verse 9, shall establish thee in an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if and only if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Well, it's time to pray now. And these newscasters like to do promotions on me. And so me being a former promoter, I'd like to do a little promo on Dr. Phil. So how do you like that, Dr. Phil? We pulled the sheets and blankets off of you tonight. Well, those of you that want to be saved, those of you that like to hear smut about real Christians, you're going to hell anyway. Even that woman from Falkirk said, I'll help you get to the bottom. I'll take you over to his house. They've been attacking us. And then they say we have guards. Yeah, I hired guards because the people of Falk, Arkansas were shooting bullets into our church. And we have little children there. And the law hasn't done anything about that. And then they turn around and say, look at that, they have guards. Well, yes, indeed, because we don't have guns. We hired security guards, just like Walmart does or anybody else does that feels that there's a danger around. Look at all the churches people are burning these days. And these people in Falk are not above that. They just put up a sign, no niggers, right on the where it says Falk, Arkansas. And this was the headquarters of the Ku Klux Klan. Look at those of you that want to be saved. Say this prayer. We're out of time. Say it now. Say it to the Lord. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father God, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away. All that call upon your name shall be saved. And I've invited you, Jesus, the Holy Father, and the Holy Spirit into my soul. And you've washed me clean from all my former filthy sins. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. And Sharon, tell our listening audience how they can receive a copy of this program, number 673. 673, just let us know whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're free.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you and praise the Lord, and tune in tomorrow for another powerful message from the Lord. A young girl left our church because she wanted to get married. She was 13 years old. And, other people leave because she left. That's fine. Yeah, but as far as the people in the church are, we have to keep holding on. And there am I singing a Gary Paxton arrangement and song, I'm Holding On. Praise the Lord.
troubles at last. I'm holding tight to the rock that's steadfast. I'm holding on to the one who cares. I'm holding on to the words of Jesus. He's my strength.
He's my strength
as I travel. I'm holding on,
holding on
to the words of Jesus. He's my strength
as I travel.